Have you ever done something in life that you just wish that you could imprint on someone else's mind for just a moment so that they could see it? I think we've gone through efforts like that in our life. As far as physical things that we enjoyed, that's fine. But spiritual things certainly are one of those things that it's impossible. Now, I'm not going to spend the entire time today talking about the trip to India. I think that is not what we're here for. We are here to assemble as a church of Christ, but I certainly want to bring it into the lesson, I hope, in a way that's very beneficial. And I hope that not only here, but others have asked that come and talk to them about the work that's going on there. And it is amazing the work that's being done in that area. And I certainly can't over-exaggerate how hard that they're working there. I couldn't possibly tell you, with very little to work with, as far as physical things are concerned, but having the most powerful thing in the world to work with, the Word of God, and that's what they use. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, a passage we quote so many times, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation," but it's a limit, "to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I was disappointed when I heard that some didn't want me to preach today. And I know you might have meant it as a good thing, but it hit me hard. Because I had told Linda while I was there, and I couldn't communicate with a lot of people because of our limit in being able to do so, that how excited I was to come back and talk to you, and I didn't want to wait. We never know about time in life. I don't know how many time I've got left in my life, but I certainly wanted to be able to talk to you about it, so I'm thankful that was changed, and I was just excited to tell you about a portion of the things that were here, and she knew how badly I wanted today to be able to stand before you and how excited I was to come and be back with you. As much as we enjoyed being there, we certainly love this congregation. Cody and I were talking about it. It is, you can't imagine the difference between how we have been benefited to be built up in this country versus how little they've had that. I can tell you. I'm going to do this quickly. 40 new members, brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you like to know who they are? This will tell you the area. I'm going to do it quickly. I'm not going to go through the names, obviously. This is one slide. 6 at one place. 8 new at another place. Another place we went to, the names listed at the top. 6 became Christians. 3 became Christians. Another place, 8 were baptized into Christ. Another place, 3 were baptized into Christ. Another place, 1. And another place, 5. I need to thank God. I've been thanking Him all the time I was gone for what He's done in that area. You just can't imagine how He's worked in that area and how He protected us. And yet, we saw Satan's hand as we had some difficulties in getting around, but every time we were able to overcome those with God's help and move on to the next place. The only place we weren't able to go, obviously, has already been talked about. I want to thank Cody, and you may wonder the hen thing, for asking me to go with him to India. Well, and his name in India means hen, and they got a kick out of it every time. Every time his name was mentioned, they kind of looked funny about that, but that's okay. So he's got 2. We know in this country it's Fluffy Pillow, and there it's hen. So if you... Now, you may think when you see this picture, he got a lot of time doing this. He did. That's why we all chose these occasions to try to get a little bit of rest. And this was our occasion to get it. We'd be riding down these busy roads, and you'd think you couldn't sleep going down some of these roads. But you learn to sleep every chance you get. Just take a nap and move on. This is actually what he was there to do. Those women became Christians. That is amazing. And that's Dave on the left, if you don't know David Graham. You can see in this picture, they put up, "We were coming," and you can also see a man that I cannot tell you how much I appreciate. You will hear more about him. Every lesson we taught, every class we taught, he stood there and interpreted it. He works hard. I want to thank you. Without your financial, spiritual support for the men who are willing to preach when we're gone, all that taught in their absence, I want to thank my family. I just appreciate them so much. Some of them are here. Some of them are not here, obviously. Bill and Kim weren't able to come. They all gave me some money to be able to do some of this, and I thank you. But really, it's all about God. All the praise, honor, and glory for those souls that were added goes to Him, not to us. We were just trying to do some of His work in that area. Preachers in India planted. They have planted well. They have thrown the seed out. They literally have just thrown it out there. And we went and we did some watering, and God gave the increase. All the new Christians were given Bibles. They ran out of new Bibles to give. We didn't have enough. No one expected this many people to become Christians, and not even the people that were there. They gave out the songbooks that were purchased. Some of you were responsible for personally paying for some of this. Thank you. You cannot imagine their faces when they receive these things. It might mean so little to us because we can run down to the store and buy these things. We have the money to purchase these things. They don't. I'll never be able to express fully what we have been privileged to be a part of in India. I've been, you know, in other areas, but nothing like this. We were the ones that received the greatest blessing. I think Cody and Dave and I would say that. Not a problem. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. It was an ever-changing schedule based on time and need. This is the area. We were down in the south part of India, the southern part of India, which was good for me because I'm from the south, so it worked out really well. Our accents were all the same. Not at all. Not even close. But I will be able to tell some funny stories about some things. We laughed a lot. We were sad. We were happy. We were elated. We had every emotion over there. This was a schedule. I know you can't see it well, but that was Prem's schedule for us. And you note we don't have any time in between any of that. And the only place we weren't able to go was the very last of that, which was go down to Angol. There are two main things that Prem had wanted us to do while we were in India. One was evangelize. The other was to edify. They need both desperately. And they're trying. But they are limited because they don't have a lot of older men over there and older Christians in the faith, not necessarily chronological, that can help them to better understand God's Word. So they're working as hard as they can. The first thing we did was spend time having classes in three different areas that were planned, that is to edify. We went to two of those areas. I don't know if you heard about the cyclone, but we do have some brothers and sisters there. They lost everything, homes, clothing, all that they had. And to them, that's all they have. So please remember them in prayer. The second thing we did was evangelize. We went out to teach the gospel. We did that every day in churches throughout the area in these one-night gospel meetings, not counting the Sundays. Okay, so that was just during the week, sometimes two a night. Go to one place late at night, then go even later at night to another place. Sometimes, in about every time, other than on Sundays, it was very late at night. Just briefly, they go to the fields. They walk for miles to go to work. They have to. That's all they make every day. Then they walk back. They bathe, eat a little bit maybe if they have time, change clothes, come to the assemblies that we had and sit there and listen to us and listen for... They would, I think some of them would listen for hours to us teach the gospel. At times after teaching, going to baptisms, and then traveling back to the hotel, all these being done in the dark for the most part except a few lights somewhere. It could be as late as 1 a.m. in the morning and then get back up the next morning and do it again. This was not exactly a fun part of the trip. I have never in my life been on a motorcycle at night doing a hill climb until I went there. And you can see that, and they traded me around because I'm too heavy and too tall. Nobody wanted to take me. Finally, one young man did, And I think he dreaded it all the way up and down the hill. Sometimes we didn't have that mode. We had to walk. And it was a wonderful walk in the dark with our flashlights on as best we could see, walking in. These are not good paths. I can't even describe it. But they came. You see that with the children? The children came. They wanted to take pictures with us. They wanted to come up to us. They wanted to talk to us. All the people did. This is a baptism out in the middle of nowhere. We couldn't have walked back to this place we had to. It's some distance from the village. That's not good water. That's actually very filthy water. They didn't care. They came in their good clothes and were baptized in their good clothes because they heard the gospel and they wanted to be baptized. This particular time, there was 8. The man is not shown. The others are women. They wanted to be baptized into Christ. This was another occasion of baptism where we had to go back because we had to travel literally for miles out on this road for them to be baptized. I just show a little bit of this. I don't know how many of us would say, yes, let's jump in the back of a dirty truck and ride for miles so that I can be immersed into Christ. It just amazes me. And it's all about one thing. We just taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the gospel meetings and God's power to save to us. Very limited electricity. They had a microphone or two, which we shared either with Prim or he had one, we had one. Glendon volunteered to interpret for me this morning. But Prim did such an outstanding job. We use terms he has no idea. We would be in the middle of saying something and have to change our words because we realize he has no idea what we're talking about. And so he did a marvelous job. Let me tell you something about Prim just briefly, and I'll talk more about him later, and I know Cody will too. This man has a master's degree in commerce, but he chose to teach the Word of God and have absolutely very little in life. Amazing. We rotated between the three of us. Sometimes one would give the main lesson and the other two would give closing remarks. We know that we preached over 1,000 people while we were there. And that is not the entire time we were there. That was from a Sunday through the next Monday because we weren't able to go to the other places. That amazes me in 8 days. In one location, we had over 150 people from the village at one time. As we gathered in an open area that the Seventh-day Adventists had allowed them to use for a place to assemble on the ground. On the ground. After preaching, people would line up afterwards. And they would want us to pray for them, asking for something specific. I just showed one picture. You can see all three of us praying with someone. And this was constant wherever we went. They wanted prayer. You didn't get into a vehicle and travel if the driver was a Christian until you prayed. You didn't go do anything until you took time to pray. You didn't baptize until you prayed. Prayer, 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 prayer. It was just amazing. So it reminded me of several things that I want to encourage us with today. People still respond to the gospel. Or one that's supposed to be respond. When I put this together, the lack of sleep, so I apologize if any of the words are wrong. We got to remember that. There's still people in this country who want to respond to the gospel. We have the same weapons. We use exactly the same ones there that we use here. Ephesians 6, 13 through 20. Take up the whole armor of God. We need it all. There's not one thing we don't need. Having girded your waist with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all. Take the shield of faith which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Someone asked me, were you ever concerned over there with all of those people? Not one time. We had one driver who was a Muslim and I was never concerned about anything because God is on our side. Never concerned me at all. And I can tell you more about him at some point. Our weapons are mighty. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. They're not carnal. They're mighty. If we can remember this, we remember what we have, power of God unto salvation, then we won't stand back in this country. We may take us longer with people. We may have to work harder, but we just need to work harder. Every one of us. K. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You just preach the simplicity that's in the gospel. The 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he was concerned that we're getting away from the simplicity. And one of the things that amazed us over there, that's where it is. It's in the simplicity in many of these areas. It's just teaching them about Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. I fear, lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. People there were convicted through the gospel just like they were on the day of Pentecost. It hasn't changed. When they heard about this and they knew about sin, which we pointed out to them, and we let them know we too are sinners. We too needed the blood of Jesus Christ, just like they, when they heard this, these people that we talked to, some of them were pricked in their hearts. And they said in their minds, what do we need to do? And we presented to them exactly what the Bible says they needed to do. And there was a response to it just like it was then. Those that gladly received His Word were baptized. And there were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. And if you just take this one little snippet of India, and I'm telling you it's just a small portion of India we went to, the 40 that were added, that God added to His church, that we taught, that's just a small amount of the work that's going on there and the souls that are being added constantly. Amazing. The same hour of the night. We're there maybe for 2 hours talking to these people after all that we go through, and they didn't want to wait when we had a place to baptize. We did not want to do any of the baptizing. So we wanted everyone to be baptized by someone from that country because we felt it best that they would not be able to say, well, I was baptized from someone from the U.S. We were in some areas where they said we were the only people that had ever been there from the United States, not just preaching the gospel. They had never before. And you could see it on their faces when they saw us. But let me tell you something right in the middle of this. I just need to say this. We're up in the middle of the mountain. We have no idea where we are. And this older woman, who has hardly anything, wanted to make sure that before we went into where we were going to assemble, that she would provide us some ginger tea that we could drink. And I will tell you something. You can ask any one of the three of us. We would love to bring that woman back. That is the best ginger tea. That is the best tea I've ever had in my life. I will probably never be able to have that again. But the same hour of the night, they came. We walked around the village with a microphone and a loudspeaker so that they could hear. They come. And they sat there, and just like this time, this occasion, where the Philippian jailer heard the gospel, and he took in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. It just amazes you. And the problem there is the same problem here. You see all those modern conveniences there? You see any modern convenience there? Oh, wait, you do see one. A dish in the middle of a village, in the middle of nowhere. That's it. But the problem is, just like here, anything that's a modern convenience for them gets in their way of being obedient to the gospel. Every society has the same temptations. Every society will fall away from God through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's never changed. We talk to them about that over there. It doesn't matter if you're living here, where we seemingly have all of these things, or you're living there, where they have very few. One of these days, Satan will get to them just like he does to us. That's the sad part of this. You just hope that these blessings they have can be a blessing. So regardless of the society, it says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. We have blessings to use. We have blessings in this country that we can use so fully in other countries. If not for, and we told them several times, the financial help we receive from people in this country, we couldn't go. It's an amazing thing because faithful people use the blessings they had to help us to be able to go there. But we have to use them right. Command those who are rich, he said in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Many here opened up their billfolds and bought Bibles and songbooks and things for these people. And they appreciated it so much. Things, again, that seem so simple to us, but they can be a curse. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, in Matthew 6:19 through 21, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We talked about this in the class this morning. Does it get in the way in this country? Yes. Does it get in the way in India? Yes, it does. Absolutely. These people will spend what they have for these false religions and these gods that they have all over the place in India. They have a major problem with idols in India. They have a major problem with things that are wrong in India, just like we do here. But God can break through all of that and teach those that want to be obedient. They were in Noah's time. You remember Noah's time? He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continued. That hasn't changed. I don't care what country you're from. They were in Israel. We were talking about this morning, and Roger used it in his prayer. The paneled houses. Well, let me read something to you. Because the daughters of Zion in Isaiah 3:16-26 are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the heads of the daughter of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. And that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms and the rings, the nose jewels, the festive apparel, and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gates shall lament and mourn, and she become, being desolate, shall set on the ground. Is he saying it's wrong to have those things? He says no. But when those things become your God, when you let the things of this world, he said, get into your life, and what you look like is more physically is more important than what you look like spiritually, I'll take it away from you. We have to be careful in this country. They have to be careful in India. Just a few things over there could draw them away from Christ. Just a few things in this country can draw us away from Christ and God. It has never changed. Matthew 13:22, and sowing the seed and spreading it out there, when it falls among thorns, when we've got the thorns of life surrounding us, when we let those things enter our life, when we hear it, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word and we become unfruitful. And it's a scary thing. I think of all that we have, which is nothing wrong with it. It's all relative to where you live. But if it becomes our God, if it becomes more important to us than doing the work of God, then we fail. We need to get our priorities right. How many times have we used Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all of these things will be added to you. It's the reverse. Don't let all the things be added to you and, okay, now that I'm happy with all that I have, I'll seek out God. That's not the way it works. So it all comes down to this, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were made in their image. Let us make man in our image. I don't know how many times we use this in lessons over there. According to His likeness, because we need to let them know where they came from. And so we find in verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. They still work in the hearts of people. Just like it did in Acts 16:14 when Paul went to spread the gospel in other places, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. What did He do? He opened it with the Word of God. He knew she wanted to hear it. He put it there in her heart, and she let it grow. And when that seed grew, she did exactly what God wanted her to do. And we know that He took her down and baptized her just like we still do today. Nothing changed. Nothing changes from Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What do? We taught them. It's about being immersed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many times we repeated that at each baptism. Every time they would baptize someone, they would want us to say something to this person and make sure they understood it was the Son, that Jesus was the Son of God, and make sure that they made that confession, and make sure they understood it's by the authority in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then they would baptize them. What does the Godhood want? They want all to repent. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises in 2 Peter 3:9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why He sent us over there? He wanted these people we talked to come to repentance, not about us, about them. He loved them and their hearts, and He knew that they would be obedient to Him. They'd not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He has always, always wanted the salvation of humankind after their creation. So what about us? Are we willing to hear the gospel? Are we willing to repent? Are we willing to confess Christ as the Son of God? Are we willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins? Are we willing to continue to live faithfully? The question comes, what's holding you back? It amazes me that you can simply tell people about the gospel and they'll be obedient. But it shouldn't. It shouldn't, because that's exactly what God gave us to use. That is it. So the question is today, why wouldn't you want your forgiveness eternally? If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?